Welcome back to Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Ellis for Tuesday, June 17th, 2008. Good evening.
Hello, folks. This is the first official Fantasy Football episode, episode 2.1, the first episode of our second season.
Now, wait a minute. So what have the other ones been if they haven't been?
They've been official episodes of the NFL show that we have.
Have they been alpha releases and beta releases?
Yes, they've been. Yeah, we're in beta stage. But it's episode 2.1. This is what are the different fantasy football leagues episode. We're going to tell you.
I requested this because I frankly
actually a user request, a listener request.
Well, it's something I've wanted. Oh. So can I say that maybe both of us requested it then? This just proves the point that Steven doesn't listen to me. Because
I listen to you. I tell you what these things are, but you don't listen to me.
I listen to
this. This proves that Jeffrey doesn't listen to me.
And no, we will have
the Mastermind Edge.
We'll welcome back Mike Nazarek, who will put everything straight. It's not that I don't trust you. It's just that I don't trust you.
Well, there you go. That's all said. So let's get to it.
Championships.
Bringing fantasy football to the world. It's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with Fantasy Football Rants and Raves.
You know, Steven, that made me think about, I sure hope that they run a new series of commercials with those guys
again.
No,
I don't trust you. That's all I got from the beginning part of that part of the show. You don't trust me, and so therefore now I have to not trust you.
No, it's not that I don't trust you. That you listen to me.
I do listen to I listen
because
to you.
I've requested this for a while.
Than anybody else in the world listens to you,
which means nobody listens to me. Is what that means, and that's quite depressing.
That is not what I'm saying. I listen to you tons.
Done.
We had a cigar the other day.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, well, I had a buzz, dude.
I know you did. And Steven's not one to do alcohol or anything of any sort of substance.
Give me the alcohol one though.
Oh, little Homer.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
It's not working, of course.
Of course, at that time it stops working. To alcohol, the source of and solution to all of life's problems.
The source of and solution to. No, good stuff there with Homer. I listen to you, man.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
So much wisdom.
That show, isn't it? Just a lot of wisdom in that show. It's been going 19 years?
Matt Groening is a genius.
19 years,
I must confess,
people.
To have taken a few years off here and there.
I've taken probably the last 5 years off.
But I followed it from the Tracy Ullman show.
But the movie was
brilliant.
Spider Pig does whatever a spider pig does.
Spin a web? No, we can't. He's a pig.
Oh, man, that Homer Simpson, he's a good guy.
So, no, I honestly have wondered about, because I've got friends that are maybe deeper into fantasy football than you, but I don't allow them to talk about it because that feels a little too much like work.
Okay.
But I've heard so many acronyms of IDPs, and then the keeper, and then the dynasty, and then the socialists.
PPR.
And the communists.
No, I think
there's so many leagues that it's ridiculous. Okay, maybe a slight exaggeration. But there's so, and then with all the scoring systems, it just feels completely overwhelming to me. And that, am I actually playing the one that I want to be playing? Maybe there's one that I'll enjoy more. I don't know, because all I've ever done is played what I have learned is called a redrafter.
Yes, you will hear us talking to Mike Nazarek, a fantasy football mastermind, later on in the show, where we go through all the leagues. And yes, he tells the standard draft leagues that we know, Jeffrey. They're called redrafter leagues, where you redraft your
every
team
league.
Every season.
And you know what I would like more than that, and I suppose a lot of people do this because I know some friends that actually do this.
Yes.
They get together and they actually do their draft, so they play with the same people every year. I would like to play with the same people on consecutive years.
Oh, I do that in a lot of different leagues.
That would be really fun, and I've never done that, and that just kind of makes me sad.
I could have you join one, but it's going to cost you some dollars.
That just makes me sad, Steven, to think about.
I would love for you to play in one with us, but it costs dollars. And
well,
I know,
like, how many dollars?
You don't spend dollars.
I do spend dollars on all sorts of things that are outrageous. I just don't spend.
You are a penny pincher.
Yes, someone's got to be.
Okay.
That's how it is. But so how do you... Okay, how much? How many dollars? How many ducats are we talking about?
I don't know. It depends. Which one?
There
is the $50 one. There's the two bills one.
I mean, don't you at least want to, for me, a little bit?
I do. I feel bad. It is a lot of fun to play with the same group of guys every year, and you can just...
Now, are these like the guys that we play poker with?
No. Well, one group is, yeah. But then there's another group, you know, the Nipper Naps and the...
Okay, I want to be with them. I want to be with those guys.
That's a $70. That's $70.
I got no problem with $70, and I can win money at the end?
Yeah.
Well, then, but would they take me? Would they welcome me with open arms? Is anyone dropping out?
It's a very
exclusive club.
Well, it's not that it's an exclusive club.
And the initiation rites are very harsh.
Once you're in, you will have to dress up as a girl.
I'm sure there's hazing involved.
But once you're in, it's very difficult to leave.
Hotel California? Yeah. You can check out anytime you like.
But you can never leave. That's
damn.
Right. And so you got, but if there, I will email Nipper, who is the commissioner of the league.
I like Nipper.
And I will tell him, Nipper, someone drops out, there's a spot open, we'd like to bring Jeffrey in.
Okay.
How about that?
Well, that's cool.
Would that make you happy?
That would make me very happy.
Warm fuzzies all over for everyone?
Well, it would, because, in fact, I'd...
There you go. Warm
how's
fuzzies.
How's that?
So, we're going to get to all of those leagues and talk about them. But before, Jeffrey, we've got a lot of interesting NFL news.
I would go further than interesting. I would go into the category of weird.
Let's start in Las Vegas, shall we?
I'm leaving Las Vegas.
And I don't know. I kind of want to play the good old boys, but it really isn't a good old boy situation. I'm going to play it anyway.
Just a good old boy.
Oakland Raider.
Never meaning no harm.
I mean, if you're in Raider Nation, man, you're a good old boy by definition.
Oh, man, let's talk about the police in Las Vegas talking and doing an investigation about Oakland Raider wide receiver Javon Walker, who has remained hospitalized with a concussion and a battered face one day after he took a beating and was found unconscious in a Las Vegas alley.
He's been contused.
He was concussed.
Contused, I prefer.
Okay. Apparently, a large amount of cash was robbed from him. Some jewelry was taken.
They're saying on ESPN, $100,000 of jewelry.
Big old diamond earrings.
I'm thinking those multi-carat square earrings that you wear in each year. And I have a hunch that the robbers didn't real carefully take the backs off like I do with my daughter. My daughter, sometimes she'll get an earring stuck, the back gets stuck, and I've got a set of needle nose pliers, and I'm real careful, and I'll pull them on it. I bet they just ripped him right off his face.
Ah, that's not good.
What do you want to bet?
Well, there you go. He's got a battered face. So
there you go.
There you go. What are you doing? First of all, we've got some information from our Las Vegas sources.
That's right. We
and
got
they're telling us that Walker was this past weekend seen spraying people with champagne.
With Dom Perignon.
Oh, not just champagne.
Yeah, no, he's got to go for the good stuff. I know that there's more expensive champagne, but for normal humans, Dom
What's
Perignon
that?
Is...
$200 a bottle?
Yeah, about. I mean, you can go to Costco around New Year's and get it for $125, but... For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then you're spraying it on people.
Yeah, I imagine gets you
and
sticky.
And I'm just thinking, you know, Las Vegas, it is called Sin City for a reason.
Yeah.
And people be like, oh, see the dude just with the Dom Perignon? That's Javon Walker.
Who's Javon Walker?
Oh, no. You say that's Javon Walker. No one's asking who's Javon Walker.
In Vegas?
Walker.
Come on, there's
they
a
know
Vegas
who
club.
Javon.
They're talking about the club that's at the Hard
I'm talking
Rock.
About
What's that
the guys
club called?
Who are casing him.
Oh, yeah.
When
no, they
say
know
that's
who he
Javon
is.
Walker, they know who Javon Walker
no,
is.
No, okay. They have dollar
then
signs going in
Then they see
eyes.
The $40,000 of worth of earrings in each ear.
Yeah.
And the $50,000 necklace.
Yeah.
And they're
you
like,
you
shouldn't
own crap like that because it just gets you killed. So here's a little bit of just for fun for me.
Yeah. Leaving Las Vegas, baby.
I love Sheryl Crow. Palm sweat, blackjack on a Saturday night. Now, if he had stayed at the tables, none of this would have happened. Leaving for good. No one ever leaves Las Vegas for good.
You didn't play the best line of that show.
I know the best line. Waiting in the middle of the desert for my ship to come in.
That's right, dog. In the middle of the desert for my ship to come in.
And Steven, how many times have we stood in the middle of that freaking desert waiting for our ship to come in?
All I know is that we do the nuttiest things right as we're getting ready to leave Vegas.
Yes, we have a tradition. It's usually like if you're up, if you have even you, 50 you, cents yeah, in your pocket,
you're gonna go
it's to, gone. You're going to go up to it. Then you have to go up to a machine.
Yeah.
Because they don't. No table games take 50
last
cents.
Last time Jeff and I were in Vegas, we're getting ready to leave. I got about $200 in my pocket.
You got two bills in your pocket.
I got two bills in my pocket.
$100 bills.
And I walk up to the blackjack table, and I said, oh, what the hell? Boom, $200.
And the dealer and says, cash plays.
Cash plays, exactly.
And she has to call out to the pit boss.
Hits me 20. And I'm like, this is pretty good. I'm good. And she flips 20. And nice. So we push. And I'm like, well, that's not good. Do it again. Cash plays. Oh, man. And then you get like a 15 and you got a hit and you bust and you're out of there. But we've won sometimes, though. Remember there was the roulette thing? Let it ride with Bender. Man, we met.
The green button.
The very first time we went together to Vegas, it was me, you, Bender, your wife, and my girlfriend at the time, your sister, my wife now, Trisha.
Yeah.
All five of us went to Vegas.
Didn't we stay in one room?
No, we didn't stay in one room.
That was when we stayed at the Imperial Palace.
At the Imperial Palace.
Oh, God, what a dump.
Yes, that place was horrible.
Standing water in our room.
It's the end. That's it. We're getting ready to leave. And you're telling my wife, girlfriend at the time, your sister.
My sister.
Don't be his girlfriend. Let him gamble the way he wants to gamble.
That's right.
So I take my last $100 and I put it all on black. Boom, it hits black. Let it ride. Boom, it hits black again. And Bender's like, you need to walk away, dude. And I'm like.
Bender, the sensible one, the educator.
I'm like, all right, I'm going to walk away, but with half. So I take half off and they play that. Boom, black again. And I walked away. A winner. It was really nice. Of course, Trisha didn't like it, even though I won.
I told you. Steve. Last time Steven and I were playing cards, I said...
No, you're not telling this story. She's right there.
Go away.
No. Anyways, Vegas is good stuff. But anyways, you got to... Some people have said, Javon Walker, this is the second time he's been involved. Remember, he was the one who was holding Darren Williams when Williams got shot. And it was Walker who was in the limo. And some people are saying Walker's just in the wrong place at the wrong time. It just happened. And other people are saying he deserves it because he's out there doing the spraying the champagne and the Dom Perignon, and that's what he gets when he hangs out with that type of a crowd. And then other people are like, come on, man, it just happens. I don't know where I land right now.
I don't either. But I mean, again. I'll let you guess what time it was that he left Body English.
3 o'clock in the morning.
3:30.
There you
is when he left Body English, and he got into trouble after that. Body English, for those who don't know, is the cool club at the Hard Rock Casino.
Yes, the cool club. So here you go, Jeffrey. So it's
which, by the way,
the
our booth is already sold out.
Really?
We didn't even get the people just beat the doors down. Our booth is full.
What are you talking about?
For your birthday opening weekend of the NFL season.
In Vegas?
Yeah.
Our booth is already full. There was no eBay thing this year?
No, booth's full.
Booth is full.
People's like, I ain't waiting around for nothing, and I just want to get in.
Well, there
I'm
you
like,
go.
Fine. Just help us pay the bill. Please.
There you go.
It's really expensive to rent that center booth.
Really expensive to
rent the center booth at the Hard Rock.
Well, there you go. We're going to have some good times there.
And they have your name on it. Oh, it's so cool.
Dude, the waitresses are nice.
Oh my God, the waitress. Now you.
She's gone.
I can't tell that story, but you can talk about the waitresses at the Hard Rock.
That's right.
Anyways, but this
Hannah,
is fantasy.
Dude, Hannah from Montana.
She wasn't there last year,
though. No, she wasn't. She was sorely missed. Anyways.
So he spends Sunday night.
And he's still in the hospital.
First thing, this was a multi-night ordeal, okay? He was at the Tryst, which was the fancy club at the Wynn, on Saturday night.
Right.
And then Sunday night, he was at Body English at the Hard Rock. And he leaves at 3:30 in the morning, according to the casino. And then he gets jumped.
And he was found
many hours later.
Yeah, Monday morning at like 7.
Yeah.
7:30, something like that.
And, I mean, he had been beaten up pretty badly. And, I mean, I feel bad for him. I mean, the guy is, I don't know. You know, Brandon Marshall, they've exchanged heated words, and so that was in the 2007 whole problem.
Yeah.
That got him into the thing.
And that's why, one of the reasons why he left Denver. I mean, come on, he only played like 6 full games for Denver.
But he has this habit of spraying champagne. That's the thing. That's what he was doing in 07, and that's when the drive-by shooting happened. That was 2007. And he did this whole thing with his cousin and then teammate Brandon Marshall, and the guys, I guess, got a little. When you get sticky, you get pissy. Yeah, there's a saying for you. When you get sticky,
I
you
don't
get
know
pissy.
Where I land on this story. It's just I don't think it's to the extreme where he deserves this. I don't think anybody
deserves to
get beat up.
Nobody deserves to get mugged. Okay,
but
I have one friend in college, Steve. I've never told you this story. A friend in college got mugged on the beach in Santa Barbara, like his first week of school.
Yeah,
and he was never the same.
Yeah.
He was never the same. He had a gun pulled on him, and you've had a gun pulled on you before.
Not good.
And that's part of the reason that you're not super crazy about guns.
No.
And Steve's philosophy on guns is, I just wish they'd never been invented.
There you go.
Fair enough.
You know what? As Chris Rock says, charge $10,000 for a bullet. There you go.
Because then if somebody gets shot,
deserved to get shot, okay? Somebody, he was shot 8 times. He deserved to get shot 8 times.
$80,000, man. $80,000
were pumped inside of him. Woo! No, I'm so to make light.
But this friend was never the same.
No,
I mean, because
it changes you, man.
He was with his girlfriend, which made it worse.
Yeah.
And you feel like, as guys, we feel like we need to protect.
Gotta
protect
the woman.
That is our basic nature. And he felt helpless, and he just gave the guy his wallet. He's like, I should have done something. I'm like, dude, you did what you should have done. You gave him your wallet.
Yeah. You give the wallet.
When someone's got a gun on you, I take off my pants. I'm like, here, what do you want? You want my arm?
Here,
take my arm. Just don't shoot me.
What, you want my girlfriend's Manolo Blahniks? Here, take them off. Here you go. Go. I'm sorry, honey. You're going to be barefoot. Got to be barefoot.
Manolo Blahniks?
Manolo Blahniks, yes.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it because later on in the show, you're going to make fun of her. So,
are they shoes?
Yes. Okay. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Ah. Yes. There we go.
Yeah.
I think we should get on with things.
Let's get to it.
Let's talk about Chad Johnson, who decides, you know, I
want to
be a Bengal. I don't want to be a Bengal. No, of course I'm a Bengal.
No. What Chad Johnson is doing
I only
is brilliant.
Accept passes from Carson Palmer, not the third string quarterback. I won't let him throw me the ball. And so now I'm going to go have surgery.
So the Bengals called his bluff.
That I needed last year.
Bengals called his bluff. So he decided, well, you know what? I'm not going to miss mandatory camps.
Oh, no.
Because I'm not going to give him a reason to take more money away from me.
Right.
So I'm going to go to camp, but I'm not going to practice. I'm just going to go and say, you know what? I'm feeling a little
I got
twinge.
These little twinge in my ankle.
I got something. And now they're like, oh, I got bone chips.
Bone spurs.
Spurs. Chips. I'm reading bone chips.
It's the same difference.
That require surgery.
Chips sound a lot yummier than spurs.
And so now Chad Johnson's scheduled to undergo ankle surgery today, as you're listening to the show, Wednesday.
Now, we just watched Tiger Woods this weekend recovering from arthroscopic surgery.
Playing on one stem, dude.
Yeah, dude.
And he won.
After 19 holes, that was amazing. That was one of the most amazing sports events I've ever seen in my life, was that Sunday and Monday. Everyone who says that golf is boring, there are exceptions. There are exceptions, and that's when
Monday
you see somebody.
Monday was pretty exceptional.
Yeah, and I saw all 19 holes, and it was phenomenal. Anyways.
I saw about 8 of them, but the 8 I saw, man, it was awesome.
Because they look like us when you and I play.
Yeah.
That was the beauty is they were hitting into the sand.
Yeah.
They were hitting into the trees,
into
the ice plant. I'm like, man, I could play with these guys.
But the only difference is that Tiger went in to the bunker on the other fairway.
Yeah.
and then still got it on the green in two.
He's Tiger Woods.
That's not what we could do, though.
The coolest golf shot I've ever seen was hit by him was when he hit through that tree.
Through the trees, yep.
He hit through a tree branch or a root.
Something like
that. It was a root. It was on the ground, so that makes it a root.
Okay.
And or root, depending
on
how you want to.
Tore the tree root out of the ground.
He hit it so hard. He hit the ball, and then the club carried through the root and just tore it apart.
And
it exploded.
And the ball.
And the ball goes onto the green and rolls, you know, pin high.
No, there was one where he was way in the rough. I mean, the rough was like...
Are we talking standing, like Scotland rough?
Yeah,
like
he was
like
standing in the rough,
you can't
and the rough
see
was
him
up to his knees, and he goes like literally he hit a field goal because it went through in between these two huge towering trees, and it goes over. And
I
it
remember that shot.
Carries
that Scotland.
Water. I didn't say it was scary.
I'm saying it was. I remember. Yes,
it carries
it was the British
water
Open.
And lands on the green, and you're like, forget it. Why is anybody even playing?
I did that off the tee once.
Why is anybody even playing this game?
Casta del Sol, seventh fairway, dog leg left. It's a par four. You're supposed to lay up. Okay? Yeah. But if you hit a perfect shot, 250, 260 yards between these two palm trees, you can reach the green in one. And it's over a lake.
There you go.
And one day I just decided, if you get cocky enough, you can almost do anything. I really do believe you could probably fly if you got cocky enough.
All right.
And I just...
I'm going to get... One of these days, I'm going to get cocky enough. I'm going to jump off the roof. And if I die, you will have your sister and my children to answer to.
Anyways, they can't live with me.
Back to Ocho Cinco here.
Okay.
So now he's decided I'm going to have surgery. This is brilliant, I think. Fine. Yep. You're going to call my bluff. Okay? You're not going to give me what I want. I'm going to come to the mandatory things because I have to.
But you're still refusing to practice, Chad.
Hey. It doesn't say anything.
You've been needing this surgery since last
about,
season.
Hey, doesn't say anything about me. I gotta take my practice. I'm sorry. What are you gonna do?
He had it on both
what are you
ankles.
Gonna do? Fine me for getting the surgery. Can't do that.
Your team doctor's the one performing it.
Can't do it. And I'm gonna be sitting around while you guys are in camp and
getting
stuff
sweaty.
And practicing. You gonna pay me? Got to.
Because I'm hurt. They could drop his beep.
He is, you know, Cincinnati's in a world of hurt, dude.
They are. They remind
because
me of the Mets right now.
He is definitely, and people and Bengals fans are coming out and saying, he is not a distraction.
Oh, he is.
He is not doing anything to hurt this team.
That
this team
is
all about Palmer.
Bunch of crap. Palmer is the last person anyone thinks of. They go Ocho Cinco. Yeah. They go Houshmandzadeh. Then they go. I mean, you seriously start running down the list of players.
Well,
then
they're
you're like
eight Johnson. So you could just say Johnson. You could
Johnson,
be about
Johnson, and Johnson.
But look, this is a problem for the Cincinnati Bengals. I know you all don't want to believe it. I know the Bengals don't want to believe it.
And we think Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison, the coach. Come on.
Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis. I knew I was in the ballpark.
Doesn't want to believe it.
I want to believe that Marvin Lewis is one of the coolest guys out there. I want to believe that.
I like him a lot. I think he's
well,
a brilliant
we haven't
coach.
Met him. We haven't met him. So we don't know him. Maybe, you know, he just is one of those. There's some people that just seem really cool, but they're not. But he sure seems like a great guy, that someone that you would just want to play for. And no, but so we're wishing better things and better
this
days.
This is something
to the
I'm
Cincinnati
telling
Bengals.
You that is getting ready to blow up in the face of the Cincinnati Bengals.
And I think the best sports comparison right now is to the New York Mets, which it is a ticking bomb.
It's a grease fire.
It's oh my God, Steven.
Uh-oh.
This now I feel bad that this has got to be on the Fantasy Football Show, which gets, you know, 1/10 the listenership of the regular show. So I might have to repeat it in a week.
Maybe.
Jordan tried to burn the house down.
What'd he do?
Well, he asked permission, which my son always asks permission before he plays with fire.
Yes.
Which that's the house rules.
Smartest
now,
thing to do.
Now, no dad. No. I mean, if a family's going to function.
You brought your garage down, so get to the point.
Oh, start with me.
How
me
did he start the fire?
But here's the point. I said next time he brings up me trapping my wife's car in the garage by busting it.
Yes.
That's a whole other story. That's a bad story. So he's out there with Nick.
Okay.
And they're trying to burn a lock.
A lock?
Yeah, they've got like a busted like old a master padlock? Lock. Okay. Yeah, like a master lock, but it's really old. It came off a gym locker at school. Like someone had kicked it off.
Okay.
Because it was so old. I said, did you kick it off? No. A friend of mine did. I said, okay, that's fine then. And so they wanted to see if they could burn it and kind of melt metal.
Okay.
And so I'm like, that's fine.
Did they understand the kind of heat they needed to provide to melt metal?
They thought they did. And so they were out there, and I provided them a spot on the patio slab. And I said, where your mom probably won't look, so that because you're going to leave marks.
Right.
And your mom complains every time we get the patio all marked up permanently. And the long and the short of it is, They it got a little out of control. He goes into the garage. He gets the shop vac. And what do I do, Steven, as a hobby?
You're a woodworker.
I'm a woodworker. So yes. You know what's in my shop vac?
Wood chips.
Sawdust.
Yeah, sawdust.
You know what the most flammable thing on earth is?
Sawdust.
Sawdust. Yeah. Now, sawdust doesn't burst into flames by itself. But if there's a heat source and there's oxygen, you essentially have all the components you need for a bomb.
It's kindling.
For a bomb. No, not kindling. A bomb. It can explode. So in the shop vac goes some of this fiery substance.
Yes.
And now they smell smoke inside the shop vac. So what do? They take the lid off.
Nice.
Because there's something burning inside, so we got to take the lid off.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? You're now providing oxygen. Yeah, this is all the ingredients for a bomb.
I get it.
And sure enough, boom, singed eyebrows. And so they dump it in the trash can, which just provides more air, and the dust spreads. And I go out there, and there is smoke. I'm surprised.
Pandemonium.
I'm surprised that they didn't do a water drop on our house from just all the smoke coming out of this trash can. 13-year-old boys, and they're stupid fathers who allow them to get into trouble like this.
I blame the father.
Always blame the father.
All right.
Because in this case, you're right.
Let's talk about the New York Jets quickly.
Okay.
Their president, Jay Cross, resigned as president Tuesday after 8 years with the team.
He's not responsible for the Mets.
He resigned so that he could accept a position as president of the related Hudson Yard.
I'm sorry? He wants to go work at the shipyards in Hudson?
The related Hudson Yards. That's what I'm being told. I'm not sure
what
that
is. Hudson Yards all capitals, like proper nouns?
Yes, related Hudson Yards.
Related's capitalized too?
Yes.
Oh, so it's like a business?
Yes.
Okay. Because
that is what he's going to go be the president of.
Related Hudson Yards.
I am done with the Jets.
It sounds like a shipyard.
I'm going to, I don't know.
I mean, the Hudson's a
maybe
river.
Maybe somebody from New York could call us and tell us what related Hudson Yards.
I mean, I could look it up on Google.
Jay Cross, he is now the president of related Hudson Yards.
Well, then, you know what, Stephen? He deserves certainly at least a little round of applause for that, doesn't he? I mean, that's like a promotion or something.
Well, I think that's a step up, yeah.
Yeah, I guess. We guess. We don't
president
know for sure.
President of the New York Jets. To the president of related Hudson Yards, that's a step up.
Okay, also in our NFL news, just to keep things moving.
The New York Jets named Mike Tannenbaum, who was the executive vice president and general manager.
Oh, Tannenbaum.
Yes.
Oh, Tannenbaum. How beauty. So Alan Spector said he won't call a congressional hearing for the NFL's investigation of Spygate.
For now.
Thus ending this drama for now.
As the NFL does not continue to leave a vacuum,
a shop vac,
otherwise
filled with sawdust,
Congress may be tempted to fill it.
So there you go. We need Congress involved.
Get in there. Get him.
Okay.
Get Belichick.
In Dallas Cowboys news, Terry Glenn has demanded a release.
Let me go.
Set my people free. By my people, I mean me.
I'm talking directly for my people. Basically, I understand what the Cowboys are doing.
They're very frustrated.
You know, he's been injured a lot, and they're like, hey, we want you to sign this contract that says, you know, you can't play for us.
Hamlin's not. He wants a new contract.
They're offering him. Well, he's a franchise, but he got franchised. So he gets his 1 year franchise deal, or he gets nothing.
Well, right. So Ken Hamlin not practicing right now is not an issue because, look, you belong to the team, period. Right. They own you.
Terry Glenn,
that's another issue. Yeah. But he has yet to pass a physical. That's all they've asked him to do.
Yeah.
Is pass a physical. And he says, no. No, he can't make me. The
Cowboys also are offering him a $500,000 injury waiver. Basically, that if he gets hurt this year, instead of the Cowboys having to pay him his full $1.74 million base salary, they only have to pay him $500,000, which I think is fair.
That's a third. That's almost a third of your salary you get.
See, you're not going to play for me, but you want me to pay you your full salary. That's what Chad Johnson is doing to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, this is my exact.
And he's a monster.
Well, guess who his agent is?
Drew Rosenhaus.
There you go. Yeah. But see, with Terry Glenn, I don't know. If you've got nothing to hide,
yeah,
then go get your physical.
Yeah.
Go get your physical, and then they will be obligated. They're on the hook for the $1.74 million.
Exactly. So he said, I'm not signing the waiver, and so if I'm not signing the waiver and the Cowboys don't want me anymore, they need to let me go. And I'm like, that's not the way it works, Terry. Come on now.
Yeah.
Anyways.
He says, my doctor in Columbus, Ohio says I'm okay.
I think.
Well, that's nice. The Dallas Cowboys would like their own doctors exactly. to take a look.
I think the bigger not reporting the camp situation is for the Green Bay Packers, where running back Ryan Grant is holding out. And it's not really, I guess I shouldn't say holding out because it's not really a contract holdout, but he's just trying to make it clear to the team he wants them to work on a new deal because he's not very happy with the contract as it is right now. He wants a long-term contract.
Okay.
I'm like, hey, Ryan, you had one great year, dude. Chill out. You didn't even break 1,000 yards. Chill out.
No one's going to break 1,000 yards in Green Bay for quite some time.
Go to camp.
Go to Canada. Go to Canada.
Oh, man.
It's time for good old boys.
Wait. One more thing. Well, go ahead. Good old boys.
Yeah, if you got good old play boys. It. Just a good old boy. Seattle Seahawks linebacker Loaf of Tofu. Entered a plea of not guilty on charges of driving under the influence of alcohol. He appeared before Kirkland Municipal Court Judge Michael L. Lambeau, but did not speak as attorney John
Fox.
I'm not
speaking.
John Fox, haven't we encountered John Fox before?
Somewhere.
Isn't he the guy who represented...
Humnumba?
Humnumba. I think he's
Humnumba. No, that's not the same guy. Is it the same guy?
Well, because he kept saying his name.
No,
I think that's why I know his name. Okay, whatever. But he told the judge that his client would plead not guilty. And after the hearing, Fox told reporters that Tofu would not make a statement or answer questions. And their next court date is set for July 7th. Seahawks training camp opens July 25th.
Issue a written statement. I'm sorry.
Yes, he wants to apologize to my family and teammates, the Seahawks ownership and organization, and the fans for making a poor decision and putting myself in a bad situation. I take this seriously, my role as a leader on this team and in the community, and because of that, I'm disappointed and embarrassed by the level of poor judgment I used last weekend. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. This will never happen again, and I hope through hard work and on and off the field to begin earning your respect and trust again, and therefore I'm not guilty. No, that actually didn't say that. That's when, I mean, because this was May 13th that he issued this statement through the team.
Yep.
Boy, I bet he wishes he had a do-over on that.
Yeah.
Because now he's saying, I'm not guilty. That sure sounds like you're guilty, son.
That's what it says.
What are you apologizing for?
Yeah. I was just apologizing because, my name came up. My name came up.
And I hadn't used deodorant that day, and man, did I smell.
That's what I was
And that's what I was apologizing. I just reeked to high heaven, and that doesn't represent the organization properly.
All right.
Football players, man. If they didn't break rules, what would we talk about? I have no idea. We talk about fantasy football, and let's do it.
Fantasy football time. We're bringing in...
You know you want to dominate your fantasy football league. Manage your teams with the assistance of the premier fantasy football information source, Fantasy Football Mastermind. Found on the web at ffmastermind.com, there's plenty of good free stuff, and the premium content will consistently give your teams the best chance to go all the way. President and CEO Michael Nazarek has 20 years experience and just completed his fourth consecutive year as SI's Expert League Super Bowl champ. Go to ffmastermind.com and check out their volumes of fantasy content, updated daily, which will give you the edge you need to legitimately claim
championship.
Redrafter, Dynasty, Keeper, Auction, Salary Cap, IDP, they cover them all with the best content available anywhere. Go now to ffmastermind.com. The longer you wait, the more great information you'll be missing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for everyone's favorite segment,
The Mastermind Edge.
Join us from beautiful Henderson, Nevada, where it was probably 120 degrees today, is Mastermind himself, Michael Nazarek, President and CEO of Fantasy Football Mastermind, found on the internet at ffmastermind.com. Michael, good evening.
Hey, guys. Technically, it was only about 110 tonight.
It was only 110 tonight.
Wow.
Okay.
Tonight. It's in the 90s now, but yeah, earlier today it was about 110.
Yeah.
What I want to know, Mike, are you anywhere near the place where Javon Walker got beat up?
I'm kind of right down the road from it.
Well, from where they found his body?
Well, technically about 20 minutes away, but I'm familiar with the area down there.
No, oh, we know you're familiar with downtown Las Vegas. We know that, especially the old part of Vegas.
Oh, man, that's craziness. Well, we're going to get to some questions today. We've got you on the show. We're going to be talking about all the different types of leagues. What our listeners want to know, all the different types of leagues out there, and how do I make sense of a TD-only league, an IDP league, and an auction league, and a salary cap league, and a keeper league, and what's
work
the difference?
Work, busy bee.
What's the difference between keeper and dynasty? And we want all those questions answered.
So, I've actually gotten a couple of emails say, now I'm branching out into IDP this year, Jeff, and I'm wanting to know what you would do with this situation. I'm like, well, I'm not branching out into IDP,
so
I don't know, and I don't care. Leave me alone. And they were emailing you, so so you got that to look forward to. I didn't forward it to you, and I don't know if they bought anything or not, Naz, but it's coming your way. So, yeah, there's so much out there. And for me, I'm a simpleton, and I admit it. So I want to keep it as simple as possible, and I don't plan on these whole dynasty things. I've got a guy I know that is so into it, and he's got these keeper leagues, and they're drafting players out of high school now.
High school?
Mike, have you heard of this?
I'm actually shocked to hear that.
it's getting ridiculous.
People take something and, you know, they got to go with it. So there you go.
I can't. It's bizarre. Okay.
We're going to start off with the standard draft leagues. Naz, this is where everybody, you draft in snake order, 1 through 12 or 1 through 10, and then 10 picks first in the second round and so on and so forth. Anything out? There's nothing really unusual about those types of leagues. Those are the standard leagues, right?
Yeah, they call them redrafter because every single year when people have their leagues for the season, they're redrafting completely from scratch. So in other words, you might have had the stud running back, Adrian Peterson or LaDainian Tomlinson last year, but it's a clean slate. So depending on whether you draw off your positions for your draft or whether you go for worse the first from the previous year, you're most likely going to have an entirely different team from last season. And in regular redraft leagues, it is a serpentine drafting method where you usually go 1 through 12, 12 to 1, 1 to 12, 12 to 1. Every other round, you go the same order, and it reverses back.
Okay. Now, anything fancy within those, any variants of those that
Well, we should talk real quickly, I guess, because we're going to obviously, all of these leagues that we're talking about have different scoring options, but some scoring options that you should take, there's the PPR, which is a point per reception league, and then there's touchdown-only leagues where all they care about is people who to score touchdowns, and then there's the yardage leagues, and then there's a combination of yardage and touchdowns, right?
Yeah, there can be all kinds of different variations on performance. You can have where a player can get 1 point for every 10 yards rushing receiving, or maybe only 1 point every 25 yards rushing receiving, or maybe a different division of the points leading all the way up to 4, or maybe just 6 for up to 100. We used to do this way back in the 90s when we first played. We only scored 4 points for a score, and it equated to 4 points for 100 yards rushing or receiving.
Wow.
And it's like your first point at maybe 10 yards and your second point at 35 and your third point at 75. It was kind of a very weird and unique situation. And everybody, I think, through the years as it got more popular, people just wanted to say, all right, well, it's easier just to go every 10 yards or every 20 yards, make things a lot simpler. But some of these leagues are still around.
Have you thought about factoring in astrological signs of the player? So if you're a Leo and you run for so many yards, yeah, you get
extra points.
Let's not
confuse
people
now, Jeffrey.
Well, that's my point, is I get confused.
Well, there is no astrological sign, so if you're thinking about that,
oh, no,
you're going to be
there's actually
confused.
A few of them.
No,
I don't know them all.
Yeah.
I know.
It's really weird,
Leo.
Since you're not a superstitious kind of a mythological kind of a guy.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm more into numerology.
Yeah. All right, now, so one that's been really popular and people have been banging on us to talk a little bit about it because we want to know more, IDP leagues, also known as individual defensive player leagues. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, basically, on the regular standard redrafter leagues, most people just draft a couple of team defenses, and they have basic points scoring rules for, you know, 1 point per sack, 2 points a turnover, 2 points a safety, 6 points a defensive score and all. But other people want to say, well, come on, the NFL teams have defensive players, so I want my roster to have defensive players too. Mm-hmm. And way back in the early 90s, I used to play in a couple of leagues that were IDP. In other words, we drafted about three or four defensive linemen, were either tackles or defensive ends, and then about three or four linebackers. And in this case, we started two of each. And then also three or four defensive backs, safeties, or cornerbacks. And usually you ended up drafting a safety because they end up making the tackles. And then usually most scoring rules are basically simple, maybe 1 point every tackle or two. You know, obviously you want to get 3 or 4 points for a sack. You know, that makes the guys like Sean Merriman that get a lot of sacks, they're more valuable. A fumble recovery might be two or three. There's all kinds of variations. Also, you can get a point for an assist or maybe a point for every two or three assists. So, you know, but it adds a whole new dimension because you have to factor in other positions. When do you first draft your defensive players?
Right.
Do you draft a few of them before actually one of your maybe your starting tight end? I you know, there's a lot of things that go into factoring that. And it also depends on the scoring rules as to whether you can. I mean, I've seen leagues that really get carried away and you end up drafting defensive players in the second or third round.
Wow. You know what I'm starting this year? I'm starting IOP, individual offensive players. I want centers. I want linemen. Every time they make a pancake block, Steven,
you were opening. You're being funny. Well, I mean, to yourself, you're being funny. I don't want
to. Wasn't
I don't
funny
wanna,
to you.
I don't want to imply it,
right.
that it was funny to anybody okay. else. But that opened a legitimate question that I had, which is there any governing body that is it just anything goes and everybody makes crap up as they feel like it and starts a variant of their own every single
sure,
season?
Why not?
I'm asking Naz. He would know. I'm sure you will with your IOP league. Everybody cares what the center does.
Sure.
I think the answer to that probably is yes. I mean, everyone's got, you know, whatever floats your boat, and you can do whatever you want.
So there's no governing body.
You could incorporate linemen, you know, if you can find a stat on the stat page, you know, for, like, pancake blocks. I don't know, give 5 points for a pancake block.
Well, I know in Madden you get 3,000 points. I mean, that's pretty sweet.
3,000 points.
Well, when you're running the drills, when you're doing the little drills there in Madden.
Jeff really loves that Madden, boy.
I hate it because Jordan does pancake blocks in his sleep. And I can't get him to save my life. I get my guy stumbling out of bounds. He looks like this big fat guy that's just running like he's been doing the bat drill. You know where you run around the bat with your head down? Have you ever done that?
No.
You've never done? Oh, you don't like being dizzy, do you, Steven?
No.
Yeah.
I like it.
Naz, are you familiar with the activity
that's like at the work company picnic.
Yeah. You're doing the relays. And you put your head on a bat.
The sack race?
Yeah, and the three-legged race and all that. Well,
you embarrass yourself in front of your boss around a bat and then falling on your
In case you've
caduceus.
Never tried this, take a bat, put it on the ground, and then try and run around it about 20 times as fast as you can, and then amuse your friends.
And then you have to race in one direction.
There's a finish line, and the first one to cross the finish line. I had a friend run off an embankment and down a mountainside.
See, and he died,
No, he did, but it was hilarious. He was ice plant and then tumbleweeds, and he had oh, my gosh,
all right,
cactuses.
So that's IDP.
Okay, but here's my point. Yes. So I just to be clear. Has there ever been talk of a governing body for fantasy football?
No governing body.
It's just chaos. I'm asking Mike. I'm not asking you. In case you've forgotten,
the mastermind.
Not you. That's Mike.
I know, but I'm answering you. There is no governing body.
Mike,
nobody wants.
Has
one.
There ever been talk
There's not
of
really
it?
A governing body in terms of you know what is the right or the best scoring rules. It's all up to the individuals with how they want to play this. I mean, there's so many variations. You can't get into anything. I mean, they even count completions or incompletions for the quarterbacks. Carries, number of carries for the running backs. You can give points for that. You know, 1 point for every 5 carries. So you can do all kinds of variations on anything, and I'm sure there are plenty of leagues out there that do that. So
Jeff just needs a governing body
for
everything.
Well, no, I'm just curious. So to your knowledge, being...
I am the smartest man alive!
I mean, you won't say it, but I will. You are the smartest man alive when it comes to fantasy football, to your knowledge. And because, mind you, you've been around this for how many years?
13.
Okay. And
13 in terms of online. Yeah, I've been around playing since 88.
And you have been this has been your full-time job for how long?
Since 99. This is 10 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's coming up on 10 years.
Coming up on 10 years as a full-time job. So when you guys get together, and you guys do get together sometimes, you and these other guys that are like the experts, has anyone ever talked about this? Like maybe we should organize this a little bit tighter? And set
there's a Fantasy Sports Trade Association out there that I'm a member of, and for the betterment of the hobby. I mean, we don't talk about scoring rules for fantasy leagues and such per se. It's more business oriented. We want to further the hobby and make sure everybody is able to have fun while trying to make a living doing it, and spread the wealth around. The pie is big enough for everybody. I mean, you know, the NFLPA is trying to get everybody to license up, and then you know we fought back against that in the court system and actually won, and they just appealed it recently, and it was we won the appeal again, and they actually tried to take it to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said, you know, we're not going to hear this. So
Chief Justice says, I've got a draft right now. I can't take this case because I got a draft in 15 minutes.
We're not taking this case.
But I mean, that's my basically, it's looking after the hobby, as you call it, appropriately. It should be a hobby. Mm-hmm. It should not be your life. I mean, unless you're making a living at it,
Mike,
which is fine. That's fine. It's important.
You know what? I need to. Will you give me a job?
I
need a job making money at fantasy football. Besides, you know, winning my leagues and stuff.
I think you do pretty well winning your leagues, Steven.
I do, but I need a job.
Okay, and here's another interesting historical question now that we've gone through one type of league.
Yeah.
Naz, at what point did you decide that you were going to make a business of it rather than try and just win leagues for money?
Well, when we started the website back in 96, there weren't very many options in terms of information online. And I, like a player, I was searching for information out there. And I said, well, I noticed a whole bunch of other people there giving their opinions. And of course, you know, it's just the type of
person. You're not one to keep your mouth closed.
I've been playing for quite a while. So I just started throwing on my free page, which was a home page of mine. I just threw out some opinions about things and started getting some feedback. And then some people kept telling me, well, maybe you ought to organize a site yourself. And said, okay, we'll just kind of put something together there, and then before you knew it, we were doing a weekly thing for newsletters, and you know, it just kind of took off from there, and we're getting all the great feedback, and then really was basically my wife said, you either got to you know quit doing this, or you know we're not going to be married anymore, or you know
I had a feeling she was involved. I just the little voice in my head said she was involved. Is Sharon?
Yeah.
Is it Sharon? Is that her name?
No, it's Marsha.
Okay.
Marsha's my wife.
Sharon from Marsha.
Marsha. That's right. That's what we
like dinner. Marsha from the Brady Bunch.
Right.
Yes. Marsha.
Okay.
All right. So let's get to auction draft leagues.
Auctions.
These are not my
45,
favorite.
45, 45, 45, 45,
yeah,
45, 45.
I spend all my money on the first two players, and then I've got like $8 to draft the rest of my team.
That's probably
not
a good
one strategy
system.
To do it. I'm not sure if that's the winning strategy, but that's certainly one strategy.
Yeah, that's why I'm not really good at the auction draft. So let's talk about basically.
So Steven can't live within a budget. Trisha, does that sound about right?
Yeah, you know what?
Steven can't live within
right
a.
Here,
oh,
right
oh,
here.
He's not supposed to show that finger. I know you're working, but we just came to this thing with budgeting leagues, and I'm just the thought of Steven working with a budget just kind of cracked me up. He tries. He tries. Hey. God, she's awesome.
So anyway,
she's so good to you.
I love my wife. Anyway, so talk a little bit about the auction draft leagues there, Naz.
Well, auction draft leagues can be just like a regular performance league, performance league, scoring league, because the scoring rules can be the same, but it's basically how you fill out your roster. In a basic performance standard redraft league, you're drafting in a serpentine order, and you just go one by one by one, and people get who's next in line gets to pick. But auctions are just like a regular auction. People are nominate players, and then it just goes around the room, and whoever, you keep bidding until the highest bid wins. But everyone starts out usually with a set amount, everybody's with a set amount, and what we do on our site, since $200 pot's usually popular with most of these leagues, when we do our rankings on our cheat sheets, we also give suggested auction values that you should be bidding for these players, and there's all kinds of different ways to strategy in terms of bidding on certain players. And Perry Burr, who of course has been on the show many times, is our auction specialist, and he's written more than a 10,000 word article on auction draft strategies that's going to appear in the guide, which is the first cut of our guide, which is due for release this Friday. We're working feverishly right now to fix it, but auctions can be very, very exciting.
So basically in your site, you got 200 bones, and you get to pick 14 rounds, is it, 15 rounds?
It depends on the rules of whatever league is drafting and for the auction. I mean, they can go through and fill out rosters, anywhere from 12 to 14 to 16 to 18. Right.
So then basically at the end, in the final round, you got like 50 cents and you're trying to pick up, somebody for
well, you get a ball boy.
Yeah.
For 50 cents.
Usually they'll break it out into like dollar segments. So, okay. Maybe like LaDainian Thomas or Adrian Peterson, you might have to push, $55, $60 on a player like that.
80 and, bucks. I'm spending $80.
Or
$80. That leaves you with $125
for the rest of my team.
For the rest of your team.
But you know what?
You're right. I mean, guys, like you can draft. You can bid and end up with like a Tony Romo and a Terrell Owens and spend over half your pot. And then there's no way you're going to end up with a Marion Barber
as
your running back. You'd be lucky to get Julius Jones at Seattle. For.
Or Sean Alexander in Seattle, for that matter.
He's no longer.
That's my point, Steve, and it was a joke.
I know.
You can pick up Sean Alexander.
So that's how auction draft leagues work. Basically, you've got a set amount of pot, and you spend it during the different rounds to pick up your players. Pay a lot early and a lot less later on.
So is there somebody...
One type of strategy, real quick, I wanted to tell that Perry goes into heavy into his article is about the nominations. Usually they go you'll go around the entire room of people, one person drafting, for each team. And each different team gets to nominate either one or two players, at a time. So there's a strategy here because... Sometimes you want to just nominate players you really don't have an interest in because then you hope that other people will end up spending their money on those players so they have less to bid against you when your players that you want to bid come later on. So there's two schools of thinking. Some people like to, load up early and get some studs early, and other people won't hardly bid at all, until very late in the draft and hoping to get steals.
All right.
Wow.
That is a very good – and all of this information, once again, Fantasy Football Mastermind. Check them out, www.ffmastermind.com. All right, finally, there's – well, not finally. There's still
finally, there's a whole bunch more.
But we've got Dynasty Leagues and Keeper Leagues. Explain the differences between those two, even though they're similar.
Similar?
Yeah.
I know. The whole point of fantasy sports is to simulate.
Yes.
But
they're simulators.
Right.
They're similar. What are they? Dynasty League.
Dynasty League basically is where you're keeping almost your entire roster from year to year.
Yeah,
you're only going to be drafting in a rookie draft the following year, which probably will include some free agents that weren't actually on anybody's team for the following year.
Because
you can actually, you know, have a dynasty auction type league, which I'm actually participating in right now, and I've got a GM that's actually managing my team, and he and I are working together. We're in the middle of a dynasty auction draft right now.
Dynasty auction draft?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't even heard of this one.
There is the Dynasty Auction IDP / Salary Cap League. That's what I'm talking about.
This is actual IDP league too, so you can have you can max out on all these things.
See?
And we're bidding on certain players that were not on other teams from last year. And when you put in a bid, we have 24 hours. And there's a strategy here because you can also frustrate your fellow team owners, their competitors, by waiting 23 hours and then placing a bigger bid and stretching out the time and keeping the player on the board while other similar players at the same position come up, and then you have different options, and it can get very interesting. Of course, you know, as time goes on, more teams win players, and then the pot that you got to spend dwindles down, and at the very end, you can get some really good steals.
So you're going like on an eBay auction and kind of snipe it at the last second.
Yes.
But basically, the difference between Dynasty and Keeper is Dynasty would keep, you know, anywhere from 80 to 100% of the players. And a Keeper usually is like a limited set amount, like maybe
three
a three-player Keeper League or a five-player Keeper League or maybe even 3 to 5 or 3 to 10. And it depends on, you know, will you keep players? Is there a penalty to that? Usually what there is, it'll cost you for each player you keep one round into the draft where you don't have a pick. There are variations on this, too. If you drafted a player from last year in, say, round 10, maybe to keep him, it'll cost you three rounds higher. So you would keep him as a seventh-round pick this year. If you chose to keep him another year, it would go to the fourth-round pick the following year.
Wow. This is true geekdom. I mean, you've crossed the line. You've crossed the line.
It can get very complicated.
No, it's not. There's complicated and there's complete geekdom. And I mean this seems to have obliterated the line to me.
Championship.
Sorry. But now, so what happens? I'm in a dynasty league, or worse, I'm in a keeper league where you can only keep three guys.
Yes.
And somebody gets hurt. And career ending injury. Joe Theismann.
Yeah.
Boom.
So you get rid of him the next year.
For that year, I don't have somebody. Do I get compensation?
You better have a backup.
But I'm only allowed to keep so many guys.
Have a backup.
How does this work, Mike?
Well, you're only keeping them for that year.
Right.
See, so I mean, obviously, if you pick, you know, everyone that has LaDainian Tomlinson on their team is going to be one of their three keepers.
Keeping
because
him
because he's assumed to be. Now, let's say you get into week two and the guy, you know, God forbid, I'll even mention this, tears an ACL, and it's gone for the year, then, I mean, you go to replace him just like anybody else. I mean, it's only a way in order to try and keep part of your team intact or your stud core, your nucleus, your team from year to year. And that's obviously going to change because you're going to have other guys, like last year, people that drafted Adrian Peterson late from Minnesota, probably going to end up keeping him this year. So there's your big stud. Now, it's very possible he could have been drafted on the same team related to Danny Thomason, and then you got a guy
that's
that may be able to keep both of them for years.
Steven's grinning from ear to ear, and that's
I
a
got
big
both of
distance.
Them.
That's a really big distance.
All righty then. Okay, so there you go. Dynasty Keeper. Dynasty Leagues, you're keeping basically your entire team. You're only drafting rookies. Keeper leagues, you get to keep a handful of players, 3 to 5 maybe, and you redraft, and depending on the rules set for those keeper leagues, you'll draft other positions to fill the needs around the superstars that you keep.
So here's a generic question then for the me representing the dumber half of the crowd.
Okay.
So for a lot of people, they're like, oh, whatever, I totally know this. Okay, could you guys please move on? What is the relative time commitment exponentially for the different kinds of leagues? Which is the most time-consuming league?
IDP leagues.
Well, if you're going to say it's going to combine things, it'd probably be the Dynasty Auction IDP League.
Okay. So when the more acronyms you're hearing and the more kinds that they're combining is the more time it's going to take.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
Well, I'm just talking about just the basic ones, assuming you're not going
IDP
insane.
Because, look, Jeffrey, in a standard...
It would be IDP, obviously.
In a standard league
where you're
just
guys
doing
agree.
Offense only, you've got about 8 starters, maybe 10 starters.
Right.
And then you've got a bench of about 6 or 7.
Right.
Now, throw in defensive players to the mix where it's going to add at least another 6 to 8 starters and another 6 players to your bench.
Yep.
There you go, Jeffrey.
I don't like it.
That's why we don't spend a lot of time talking about it. And I know that there is a minority who want to hear about it, but we don't spend a lot of time about it because it is very time consuming. You got to really, really know your defenses. You got to really know the individual defensive players. And depending on what kind of scoring system it is for the defensive players, you really got to know who's your sacks guy, who's your tackle guy.
There's a sacks guy?
Sack.
Oh, okay, because I'm like, man, I don't. How do you find out who's scoring? I mean, how do you find out who got
scores,
any?
Yeah, who scores after the game?
Yeah,
that no. Who are the sack guys?
I'm glad you enunciated.
Who are the you know the forced fumble guys? Who are the guys who get most interceptions? Who are the guys who anytime they get it on defense can take it to the house and score touchdowns
versus
for you?
Get too tired before they reach the end zone? Needs an O2.
Exactly. So. There is a lot going on in IDP leagues, and so just adding defensive players by themselves, it makes it a lot more.
So for those of us who are really busy, we want to stay away from those.
Yeah.
Now, do Dynasty and Keeper leagues take more time than just redrafters?
Redrafters.
Thank
yes,
you. Wow. Using vernacular properly.
Mike, go ahead and ask. I don't think they're that time-consuming.
You would say that I would say that they would take a little bit more time because you're constantly asking the question in the off season. Well, which three am I going to keep or which five I'm going to keep or you know if you're a dynasty league, you know what 80% of the team I'm going to keep, and if you've got a early cut down date, then you've got probably some tough decisions to make whether you want to keep them or not. And even if you know which three you're going to keep, then you've got to play in your draft strategy. You got to alternate. Change it up a little bit because if you're keeping somebody like Peyton Manning, then obviously you're not going to be caring much about the quarterbacks early in the draft. So,
I'm hearing a difference right here, which is that Dynasty and Keeper Leagues have a bit of a more year-round feel to them.
Off-season. They have an off-season.
Mm-hmm. Where redrafters, yeah. You don't have to even think about it until the preseason starts.
There you go.
I mean, if you're sharp like us, we follow the combine real closely so that we can get to know the rookies in case you're not a college football freak.
Right.
You know, like I'm not. So I follow the combines real closely and get to know the kids. And then when it comes preseason, I lock in even more. So that by the time our draft comes around, I feel like I'm totally prepared to make the best picks and to put together a great team.
But Dynasty Leagues,
but there's
and
a
keeper
huge
leagues,
off-season.
Off-season, you got to think about which moves am I going to make? Who am I getting rid of? Who am I keeping? Why am I making that move? And then, you know, and then depending on when you have to make those decisions, ooh, look at. You know, I decided to keep Javon Walker. And now he's busted in the
busted his face.
Yeah. So you got to be careful.
Yeah. The time commitment thing is always a big thing with me. And
finally.
I think that's why they refer to us as fantasy football fanatics because we're constantly thinking about this in the offseason. And it really, from being in this business online now for 13 years, I can tell you that the majority of the people and the majority of my subscribers out there really are – like I hate to say this, but there's nothing wrong with it. But they're like fair weather fans. They don't start thinking about football until they actually see something about training camp on TV, and they won't even start working on their preparations for the draft. Most of these people only draft like the week before the season begins anyway, so they can wait until the preseason games begin to actually start watching the football, and then they come to me and buy my product, and so that's why our August is just like off the wall busy for people coming to the site and wanting the information. That's why we basically have to update things so quickly and in a timely manner, because those people come to the site and they expect they're calling from cold turkey to thinking, going from baseball right into football, and they want something that's going to be easy to read, very informative, and be able to get them up to speed quickly so that for their draft. Not everybody is a fanatic. Most people are not. And in terms of the IDP leagues, I agree with those are probably the hardest and the most time-consuming in that. And we've practiced as people order on our site, they have to choose the question, do you play in an IDP league? And sometimes I get people to call me in and I say, do you play in an IDP league? And they say, what? And I said, no, obviously
never mind.
You don't even know what IDP means. But about 5% of our customers play in IDP league. So it's not very much, but still we have an IDP specialist in my niece who does a very good job with that. And we're always looking, to add more and different unique flavors in terms of our information in the area.
Now, we had Mike on once last season to talk IDP.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I wonder if there's a way, and maybe the listeners can give us feedback. Jeff at RARN.net, Stephen at RARN.net, can give us some feedback on if you would like more from Mike Neese, and maybe every other show we have an IDP segment. I don't know.
Every couple of shows. I mean, I know we're definitely before the preseason, before drafts really kick up, we're definitely going to have an IDP show where we'll focus on that. That's in the works.
But whether or not on an ongoing basis, I don't know. Because it would be interesting to get a feel from the listeners of what would be useful.
Shoot us
my
emails.
My hunch is that maybe because of me, I keep the show dumbed down. We don't have an overwhelming majority of IDP players.
Kiss.
Given that there's that, keep it simple, stupid. Just because you only can go, like any teacher will tell you, you can only move as fast as your slowest student.
There you go.
and that'd be me in this case.
All right, one more league to talk about, and that's a salary cap league. I'm not too fond of these.
That's what we did with baseball.
But they can be fun. Mike, take us through the salary cap.
I love that when it was baseball.
Well, basically, guys, you're given a set amount to actually pick and buy in terms of salary certain players and fill out your roster before the season begins.
$1 million. There's variations on this
in terms of there are some leagues out there that enable you to actually just more like a weekly contest where you're trying to fill out your roster when there's set amount. Each player costs a set amount, and each week it's changed upon their performance and all. But most of the salary cap leagues, basically, everybody in the preseason will have a set amount salary, maybe, to $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, whatever. You've got a whole amount of maybe $300,000 to fill your roster, and depending on if you want to spend $40,000 on Tony Romo or $10,000 on Jeff Garcia, you fill out your roster that way.
Okay, and Mike, I got some breaking news for you. So here's our breaking news sound. Oh, I moved my cable.
Okay.
I moved my cable, Steven.
Blink, blink,
blink, blink, blink, blink, blink.
Okay.
Oh, that ruined the whole thing because I had it all going. But we had breaking news, and it was just going to be a quick joke, and it was just to let you know that your Mets just lost to my Angels 6-1.
Oh.
Sorry, dude.
There you go.
And so you get a Nelson too. Ha ha.
Yeah, there I see go. It on there right now.
All right. Okay, back on track.
Thank you. Back on track. All right. So that's salary cap league. So and what you should know is in salary cap leagues, it is possible for multiple teams to have the same player on.
What?
Okay. Like, well, basically, you're given $1 million.
Oh, okay. And I can spend it however I want. So we can both have LT, but it's going to cost us a ton of money.
Exactly.
Interesting.
There's variations, whether you're playing in a weekly salary cap contest type game, or there actually are salary cap leagues out there where certain people actually do only own that certain one player. So there's variations on that, but I think in most cases, you can have the same player across the entire league there. It's just a different type of makeup for the rosters and all, and those things are very tricky.
That's nutty.
All right, good stuff there. There you are.
One thing I can tell you is that we did add a salary cap strategy article to our guide this year. We got I guess I'll make this announcement now. I don't know if any
make
people
the announcement
are
now. Scott,
with John Dietz from the Daily Herald. It's the third largest paper in Chicago Tribune. He's joining our staff this year, and he's writing a very special article on salary cap leagues strategies and how to set up your team, and he's going to be joining us for the entire summer and all the way into the season too. So I'm very excited about that, and he's going to be debuting on the site this Friday along with our guy.
Nice signing.
There you go,
you're
excellent.
You know what? I actually get emails from people that when I say that you're like a genius, that think that we're trying to pimp your product. And trust me,
we're trying to pimp your product.
I am trying to pimp your product. I'm not trying to hide that. But Mike, I'm blown away. And this is just in all sincerity. So people out there listening, yes, go buy Mike's products, okay? Because they're the best out there, okay? Now, now that I've said that, I can say with all sincerity, and I'm not sucking up, your ability to get the best people is amazing.
Well, one thing I almost pride myself on is having a very consistent staff from year to year.
Your staff's
amazing.
We've
got guys that have been with us since like 1998 for 10, 12 years, 97, going back to 97. And they keep coming back for a reason because they do good quality work, and you know, I treat them well. I pay them, and
you know,
everybody's happy. Everybody does well in their leagues, and they're happy to contribute in their specialized area. I always try. I don't want to pigeonhole anyone. If they come to me and say, "Well, I want to maybe do this or do that," just like Perry Burr, you know, he's really into rookies, and yet he plays in a really old auction league that's been playing for like 20 years. And so, you know, he said, "I want to write an article on auction," and he did, and blew me away. And he's been doing it ever since. And, you know, he changes it up, and all, you know, his advice almost changes from year to year, depending on the situation in the NFL. And we've got other guys that cover everything else in the other areas on the site. And so, you know, I'm smart enough to realize that I can't do it all myself. But fortunately, I've been lucky enough to get good quality people year to year coming back on the site. Usually only have one or two people that, you know, maybe leave every 2 or 3 years, usually for personal reasons because they have a family or they change job or something changes. But, you know, John Holler and Perry Burr and Mike Neese, these guys have been with me 10, 12 years, and I'm very happy about
that. That's wonderful. And just one final question before we let you go. You said something that I found really fascinating offline before we started with you. And you mentioned a website that I think people really need to check out. And that had to do with Sarah Jessica Parker. Could you?
Oh God! Jessica Parker.
Could you please?
You want to put this on me now? I'm gonna get the hate mail.
No, you're not, because nine out of ten people with the Stevens, the one who doesn't see it. I thought I was alone in seeing this, and now I'm finding out that there's a website. Now, give us the URL for the website.
I believe it's Sarah Jessica Parker looks like a horse.com.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I have nothing to do with the creation of this site.
And I'm just saying.
I don't want to pervade this, but
Sarah,
I checked it out. I saw it online and I saw a link to it. You know, actually, I don't think it was
Sarah
from your
Jessica
site.
Parker looks like a horse.com. That is horrible. Yeah.
It's not horrible.
It's horrible.
It's helpful.
Oh, my God.
For people like me who get in arguments with their brother-in-laws.
Oh, they got a picture of a horse doing the...
spinning on the beach?
And she's got
I haven't been there.
Open.
I guess I need to go there.
That's not nice.
Are they dirty pictures?
Don't
I mean,
go
I don't
there.
Want Sarah Jessica Parker looks like a horse. H-O-R-S-E for those of us who played when we were kids, right? .com. It's not H-O-U-R. I'm a very... Oh, my God. Did you hear the sound effect?
That is horrible.
There's the sound of a horse that plays when she's gone.
Oh, no. I just checked it out myself, too, and it said the site is temporarily closed.
No, it's
good,
here.
Good.
It's here.
It's closed.
A loving tribute. Oh, we're sorry, but the site is temporarily closed. She's been put out to pasture, and she'll be headed to the glue factory.
Oh, this is terrible.
Okay. All right. I don't know if you know that a few shows back I mentioned that I thought she looked like a horse, and Steven got really mad at me. But they don't even have the good pictures up. I mean, the definitive
all
ones.
All right.
Now that's off topic too much for the fantasy football show.
Yes.
So we will just say thank you, Michael, for being who you are and doing what you do and providing for us the mastermind edge that we need so badly in our lives to make
on
it
all of those
possible.
Different leagues. You know what I'm doing? This year, I am going to be in one of every single different type of league there is.
Dude, that's
except
just insane.
Except IDP.
Because it's just too damn busy.
Yeah, I would kill myself if I did that. Anyways.
And somebody else might kill you too.
Mike, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks, guys. And one last thing I wanted to say is that we're feverishly working to get the first cut of the guide, and it's going to be posted on the site, released this Friday. But whether you choose to buy or not, we welcome everybody to the site. There's going to be snippets from the guide, so there's going to be plenty of stuff to check out, absolutely free.
Free tidbits.
We do the daily quick bits, news items that we've been, it's the most popular thing on the site. We got a forum. Everybody's joining in. You know, it's just a lot of fun. It's just something to pass the time away until we get to training camp in another month and a half. Do you believe it's only like, what, 40 days away until training camp starts?
40 days, baby!
We're both going on vacation between now and then, and so it's going to even be less. I mean, when we're
yes.
on vacation.
And as we should say, since Jeffrey and I, this is the last time we're coming to you in the show for about a couple weeks.
Yeah, we're taking a few weeks off. I'm going on vacation this Friday.
And then when Jeff comes, then Steve I'm going to El Paso to go visit the folks.
I don't know why they couldn't make their vacation overlap with ours. They're just selfish that way.
We are.
But that's the way it is. Okay.
All righty.
So, Mike, thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Okay, take care, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Stay cool out
good
there.
Good night, man.
Okay, bye.
All right, Jeffrey. Man, that's always good stuff with the Naz.
It's not good. It's the best.
It's the best. All right. First show of fantasy football in the books for season two.
Well, it's the first. Official. As
yes,
long
it
as
is
you got the word
official. It's not
there.
The beta.
No, we're not. We're past alpha and beta.
And what's after beta?
Gamma. Delta. Do you want me to do the whole Greek alphabet for you right now?
I'll tell you when to stop because we did four. We did five of them. So go.
Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon.
Epsilon. Stop.
Theta.
Stop.
Sorry. I had to take Greek. It was part of my seminary training. Seminary training.
Okay. I was like, you worked for a cemetery and you were trained on Greek alphabet.
No, I actually took Greek in college, so had to drop it because I was failing.
You know, the Greeks made everything.
Yes. Chinese.
My big fat Greek wedding.
Chinese made everything reality. It's a great new book out, by the way. It's
called
a compendium
the Chinese
of
made
this,
everything?
It's a compendium of this guy's life. Who spent his entire life studying Greek culture and civilization, and it ends up they had everything, like the wheel, that they had that like 1,000 years before anybody else did.
Who?
And the people who take credit from it is always Europeans or something like that,
right.
The Chinese.
But the Chinese had all that stuff.
They had that stuff, and the printed the printing press.
But you
Gutenberg
know what?
Did not invent the printing press.
Hey, they don't write it down, though. They didn't write it down.
They didn't, and they stopped developing, and that's kind of what this whole book was about, which is why the Chinese stopped developing. Fascinating book. Go out and look it up. I don't know who wrote it.
All right. There you go. That's the fascinating mind of Jeffrey Ellis.
The random and fascinating mind of Jeff Ellis.
This has been Stephen Miranda.
And the fascinating random mind of Jeff Ellis
for
saying good
fantasy football rants and raves. Good night.
Meow.